Shalom and good morning. We want to bless the name of Jesus because of who he is. On the journey to understanding how to receive help from the Lord, we have been considering on how do we receive help. The book of Philippians is a book that largely gives us how the Macedonian call to receive help, to come and help them, was able to be fulfilled. And when they received help, while Paul got an invitation, while Paul was in prison, they also sent help to him. Now he's writing to tell them thank you for the help he had received. We have discovered that many people ask for help, but few people receive help. What is the disconnect? What is the difference that many people have not received any help, despite the fact that help is available? The time of Jesus said he came to his own, but his own received him not. There are those who reject help. There are those who despise help. There are those who do not want to connect or plug in to the help. But there are those also who don't understand the time of their visitation. And Jesus cried over their lives when he discovered they could not be able to understand the day of their visitation. The book of Philippians, Paul gives four major things or four major alignment that the church of Philippians took so that they could be able to get help, or they could have taken to get all the help. Chapter 1 of Philippians was they were supposed to just to surrender to the will of God. Chapter 2, they were supposed to submit to the cause of Jesus, serving others and humbling before others. Chapter 3, which we are starting today, from chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, they were supposed to have single mind. Single mind. Now, we want to just highlight how you can train your mind to a single mind. The Bible has a lot of examples of the danger of having what we call double-minded, or to be double-minded. Double-mindedness is when your mind is scattered over many things. James said that a double-minded person cannot receive anything. You see, we are talking about receiving help. Double-minded people cannot receive any help, because you ask of anything from God, instead of waiting for God to come and help, you have already left the place of asking. You are not able to wait. And so Paul writes about four things that we can learn in this chapter that would help you to tune your mind to a single thing. Number one is you tune your mind to a single thing. You train your mind to focus on a single thing. That's what he would say, one thing I do by repetition. You discover Paul will be talking about, I want to, for me, writing to you again is not a problem to me. Whatever happens, my brothers, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I never get tired of telling these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. He's saying, I don't get tired to speak to you again. So you are tuning your mind. You're training your mind by repetition, by hearing again and again and again, or by saying. If you're the one helping others, it's by speaking again and again and again, letting people remember what you are talking about. Number two, Paul will be saying you train your mind by avoiding false teachers. Paul calls them dogs. Now, ideally, the name dog here was representing male prostitutes. Dogs would be those that would be able to move, to meander aloud to very many females. You know, a dog does not stick to a one animal, to a female dog. And so it does not focus on one. It cannot be able to focus on one. You see, dogs, male dogs, especially those that are not castrated, you find them during the mating time. They've gone to multiple female dogs because they are not able to focus on one. Here we're talking about focusing on one. And so Paul calls them dogs, those mutilators, those who would return God's people even to the to the efforts. When the Bible says that we cannot trust our efforts, and but there they are saying we should trust our efforts. When the Bible says it just by grace alone, these mutilators are saying it's by works. You can be helped through your works, through your efforts, through circumcision, through keeping the law. So Paul says, avoid them. If you want to maintain that singleness, you have to avoid them. Number three is patterning your lives after good teachers and mentors. You discover Paul is talking about that you need to let us be other mentors and very good teachers who will keep on helping us to walk along the way. You see, many people don't want to be other mentors. I mean, they don't want to be mentored. And very many people don't finish the mentorship class. Once they have started and they discover they can be able to do that, they despise and dishonor the mentor very quickly. So Paul says, we learn to mentor or to honor our mentors. Doesn't mean that honoring mentors is worshiping them. No, it is to allow them to speak into our lives. Even as we continue in the day, even as we also become mentors, we also want to remain other mentors throughout our lives. People who can speak to our heart. Today, the problem of discipleship is lack of mentorship. People who can be able to speak to them. Some of the young people, when they discover a few things in the Bible or they listen to messages from others, they can be able to bring it out as though it is their own. And because they can be able to connect very many things, they do not want to be other mentors. They don't want anybody who can reprimand them. Number four is by what we call by beholding. Beholding is when you are looking at one thing and observing one thing for a long time. It's also called meditation. Beholding is not just looking. Is perceiving, is looking beyond, is trying to see. Have you ever seen some people when they show you a picture that can, that when you turn it, it can appear an old woman, and when you look at it again, it can appear a young girl. For you to be able to get those differences, you need to behold. Behold means you look at one thing for a long time. Not just you are lost. No, you are trying to look at what is the difference. What are some of the distinctions? And number five, and the last one, is that you train your mind for a single by avoiding appetites of the earth. The appetites of the earth would definitely move us from one thing that we are looking after. So Paul, writing here, he says, watch out for those dogs. As verse 2, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved, watch out. and don't give them space. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We just rely on what Christ has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have more. I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I live Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for the righteousness, I obeyed the law without a fault. I once thought these things were variable. Now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as a garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Jesus. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Father, help us to just single out to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.